John chapter 1 and verse 15, we're going to read down through verse 18 and look at the things that are concerning the witness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible calls the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He is the one that was prophesied by Scripture that would come before Christ came. And that literally happened. John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus was born. Born to Elizabeth, and she was 6 months ahead of Mary in the pregnancy. And so John the Baptist is born, and he is a witness. He is to become a witness that goes and prepares the way of the Lord. And so the title of this message is called The Witness. The Witness. How that John the Baptist is the witness. John 1:15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Let's pray and ask the Lord for the blessing on the reading of his word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for the truth of this book. Lord, we're thankful that we have the faithful witnesses of men and the holy words inspired by the Spirit of Christ to guide us, to enlighten us, to show us. Lord, we don't want to stand in our faith based upon our opinions, based upon our observations. God, we want to hear your truth. We want to know the truth of the matter. We want this church to be a pillar for truth. And God, I just pray and ask that you'd teach us and instruct us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work that my words could never do, but that your Holy Spirit would bind these truths to our hearts and unify us in the faith and help us, Lord, to have understanding of these spiritual matters. God, I call upon you to fill me and for you to fill this place and for you to speak to the hearts of each person here today. God, we call upon you for your help. I ask, Lord, that you'd feed your lambs today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is a witness? Well, a witness tells what he has seen or heard or experienced in some way. In other words, he reports firsthand what he knows about something. And so a witness has either observed this thing or been affected, impacted some way by this truth that he is telling. A witness tells what they've seen and heard, and he tells it in a firsthand matter, a firsthand way. A witness is supposed to be a truth teller who is interested in or seeking justice. That's what a witness is supposed to be. That's what witnesses are supposed to do. John the Baptist was a witness to the message that sets men free. And so a very powerful witness. John the Baptist had the testimony that every man needs. The testimony that man is in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Christ Jesus. And so John the Baptist bears witness of this truth. He is the one that tells this truth. John the Baptist himself was impacted by this truth in every aspect of his life. Now, John had a responsibility. He was given the truth. I believe he was supernaturally given this truth. I believe that God confirmed that truth in John's life, in his actions, and all that John did. Jesus says about John the Baptist, he was the greatest man that on the face of the earth. But he said, in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom will be better than John the Baptist. But he acknowledged the faithfulness and the character of John the Baptist. John had a message, and he was faithful to get that message out. John's message wasn't popular even in his day. John probably didn't go about it in the most diplomatic way. But you know, the thing about truth is it's just hard to butter up. It's just hard to add the sweetener to it. You just got to give truth as it is, or you kind of ruin the truth. You ruin the impact of it, the significance of it, the effect of it. And so John just had to give it the way he got it. Pure and simple and sharp and powerful. There wasn't anything when you looked at this witness that would have said, now here's a credible witness. His dress, his what he wore, was stood out even in his day. His diet stood out. Now, I don't know if he just didn't, if he just liked what he ate or what, or he was just picky. Maybe he's like Monty. Maybe just maybe that's just his palate just kind of funneled him down. But even his diet was strange, and his message was like a message nobody had ever heard. But he told it. He was faithful to tell it. It didn't matter to him who was there to hear it. They were going to hear it just as he received it. How about us? Are we delivering the message? Can you think of a more cruel thing to do than to leave a man thinking he's without hope, he's without opportunity, that he just leaving him in his bondage when he has been set free? Can you think of a meaner trick to play on a man than to not let him know that he can be free? Wouldn't that be awful? Back in 1949, there was a man that went to prison. His name was John Currier. And I've read this story and don't know anything about the man. This is just a story that comes across as a good illustration, but it's told as a true story. John Currier murdered a man and went to prison. At some point, they gave him leniency because of his good behavior, I would suppose. But they gave him leniency, and they paroled him and allowed him to work on a farm. And he worked on that farm for many years, and then finally his sentence was terminated. And a letter was written and sent to where he was, to the farm that he was on. But nobody ever told John that his sentence had been commuted. Nobody ever told him he was a free man. He worked there for years. He worked there for 10 years. He worked there on that farm. Even after the owner of the farm died, he continued to work that farm and be obedient to the task that he was given. Finally, a state patrolman came across this man's case and found out about this, and he tracked him down and went to him and said, "You're a free man. You're pardoned. You're a free man." Now think about that. He worked under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of his sin. He was imprisoned because of his sin. And even after that he had been pardoned, he was still working and under that because nobody would tell him. Nobody told him. Look, we live in a community where people are in the bondage of sin. I mean, it's got a stranglehold on them. And they don't think there's a thing that can be done about it. And yet we know that's not true. We know that Christ came for every man, that any man can be sinned, that can be saved, that every man should be saved. There isn't any reason for a man to stay in the weight and the bondage of his sin. And we have the message. Are we telling anybody about it? Or have we just left them in their sin? In verse 15 of our text, it says, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that came after me," he was born after John, "is preferred before me." He has God's preference. John was not the Christ, the anointed one. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. "He is preferred before me, for he was before me." So here, John speaks. The Bible says he cries, saying. John goes about crying out this message. Goes about telling as loud as he can to as many as he can this message. Who do you speak of? John spoke of Jesus. That was the only subject we hear that John ever spoke about. Every question that John ever asked was about Jesus. Every revelation that John gave was about Jesus and man's relationship to Jesus. When John the Witness spoke, John the Baptist the Witness spoke, he spoke of Jesus. Who do we speak of? Well, I've spoken of a lot of people this week. I've listened to people speak of other people. But who's going to speak up for Jesus? Will you speak up for Jesus? It's our responsibility to speak up for Jesus. Who are you talking about? Bethany and Nathan and I were riding down the road to a ball game yesterday, and they were talking about a lot of things and a lot of people. They were dissecting football games and matchups and individual players, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, defense. They were in detail speaking of people. But who's going to speak of Jesus? Who will speak of Jesus? How much time this week have we spoken about Jesus? Who do you speak of? When John the Baptist starts to describe Jesus, he uses a metaphor about the shoe latchet. Now, we don't have shoe latchet, but he talked about how that Jesus was so preferred before him. Jesus was so great, so much greater than him. Jesus is the one that he proclaimed and spoke of. And he said, Jesus is so high, I'm not even worthy to bow down and even touch his feet to latch his shoes. That's how much greater he is than us. That's how much greater than he. That's the perspective of that this witness had, the greatness of Jesus. Look, he wasn't as the scholarly who say, well, Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a prophet. He said, he is so great. He is so far above just being a great teacher. And he was a great teacher. And he was a great man. Have you ever known another like him? There's never been another like him. I know the answer to that. There's never been another like him. Every other man will let you down. Every other man will fall short. Every other man is limited. But there was never a time that Jesus looked at a situation and scratched his head and he says, I don't think anything can be done about that. There was only one time where anything ever brought Christ the kind of grief that we face. I guess two times. At the death of Lazarus, Jesus wept. And shows that he is in touch and understands our weaknesses and our infirmities and the things that we experience. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he himself faced this brutal, cruel death that was before him. But in all of those things, he was victorious. In Lazarus, he just raised him from the dead. And in facing his own death, he himself defeated death and rose from the grave, rose from the dead. John's witness is that he's so great, I wouldn't even be worthy to strap his shoes on him. Turn with me to verse 29 of chapter 1. Here's John's witness. You say, if he's a witness and he's crying, what's he crying? What's he saying? What did he tell people? Well, here's part of it. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, John's crying to them. John's the witness. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That's what John has to, that's what John's testimony is. That's what he said. That's what he saw. That's what he experienced. John is interested in telling the truth and telling it firsthand. And that's what he saw. That's what he experienced. That's who Jesus is, the Son of God. You can harbor the doubts in the back of your head all you want. God's book says he's the Son of God, revealed firsthand to John the Baptist. That's a powerful witness. That's a whole lot better than the skeptics that we hear and lean upon in this day and age. First-hand account. Can you imagine? John had been out there baptizing tens of thousands in the rivers. And Jesus comes down. And the Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him in the form of a dove. Have you ever seen a dove land on a man? I've never seen that. Have you ever seen a dove come down out of heaven? I've never seen that. And John bear record of this thing, and you can believe it. You can mark it down. It's true. It's true. It's a faithful witness. He not only speaks of Jesus, but he declares that Jesus is preferred before him. That Jesus has the preeminence. That Jesus is the greater. John's in prison. Now that's not a funny thing. But John's in prison and having invested 30 years in Jesus and being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he's above 30 years old and he's in jail for being a witness. For saying the Anointed One is coming. He's in jail because of his testimony. And he's in jail, and his disciples, John's disciples, come to him, and he says, go to Jesus. Would you go to Jesus and ask him, is he the one, or do we wait for another? It's because even John, you know, he's seen this thing in firsthand witness, and you're like, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I got this thing wrong. Maybe it's another. Maybe I'm in jail for no good reason. And Jesus said, you go tell him this, that the poor hear the word, and the lame are healed, and the blind can see, and the dead are raised. And that was enough for John. That's enough to take John to the grave and up to heaven. That was enough for him. That's all he needed to hear. That's all he needed to hear. It confirmed it. Have you ever been a witness to something? Have you ever had to testify about something? Have you ever had to say, what'd you see? We're trying to figure this out. What did you see? Anybody ever been a witness? So a few of you have been. All right. That's good. I remember one time I was driving down the road. It was in Blue Ash down in Cincinnati. Driving down the road. The car stopped in front of me real hard. I brake real hard. I get stopped. And I look in my rearview mirror, and I see a big Cadillac emblem coming down. And I'm like, it's not going to stop. I was in an El Camino, and that back glass is right there behind your head. And I went, boom, and hit the back glass, and then boom, like that. And I thought, oh, boy, that hurt. That kind of hurt when I did it then. And I thought, well, here we go. So I get out of the car, and it's a woman in front of me who had braked real hard. I braked real hard, too. No problem there. I mean, she just stopped real hard. I get out, and it's an elderly lady that's in the Cadillac, and she's the one that's plowed into me. And the car pulls over, and another lady gets out. She says, don't worry, I saw everything, to the lady that hit me. I'm like, well, what does she mean by that? So I'm waiting there, and the police cruiser pulls up, and the police lady gets out of the car. So I'm standing there in a circle of about five ladies, and I'm like, I could be in trouble here, especially with the comment that the witness made. And the police officer said, can somebody tell me what happened? And the lady hit me said, I don't know what happened. I just couldn't get stopped, and I plowed right into him and pushed him into the car in front of him. I thought, okay, that's a pretty good witness there. I'll take that. And that's exactly what happened, and that's exactly how the thing went down. It was a true witness. I was in a training class here a while back, and they had you view a picture, or a video. And in this video, it was a busy lobby, and there was an elevator behind him and all of that. And you were to watch this thing, and you record certain events. There was events that you were tracking and keep and watching and all of that. And you're watching this thing and watching this thing. And then they come back, and they ask you, what did you see? How many of this? And that kind of thing. And you're reporting back. And they're like, watch it again. So you watch the thing, and you're keeping closer track this time and watching it. And yeah, I'm making notes. And yeah. And this time they say, how many of you saw the man in the gorilla outfit walk right through the crowd of this thing? And I chuckle, yeah. And he's like, no, seriously, how many of you seen the man in the gorilla suit walk through this thing? And I was like, oh, there was no, I was watching this thing. I was watching this thing. There wasn't any gorilla in that room. So they showed it again. And lo and behold, there's a gorilla just meandering through the crowd like this. Just about the whole time he was walking through this thing, and half the class missed the gorilla. If somebody would have said, did you see the gorilla in a court of law? They'd have said, there wasn't any gorilla, and I'd have been one of them. So you see, the witness is based upon what you perceived. A witness may not see it all. There may be some question about a witness. You might need some clarification. John the Baptist wanted some clarification. He was like, Jesus, I saw the dove. I heard the Father, but this isn't going the way I thought it would go. Have I messed up? Do we seek another? And yet his witness was true. And the doubts that you have, throw them aside. This old book is true. It's proven. You know how I know it's true. I said that a witness tells the things that he's seen or heard or experienced. Because not everything we witness can be seen or heard. Sometimes what we've witnessed can be felt. It's just experienced. I've had the change that salvation makes when this old dead spirit was made alive by Christ Jesus. When Christ made my spirit alive and His spirit came to dwell in me. And then all of a sudden I could understand this book. And you can too. And you do too. You have the witness in you that what John saw was true. What God declared was true. That Jesus was and is and always will be the Savior of this world, the Son of God with power. And these things are true. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful for this witness. We're thankful for the truth. We're thankful that you ever loved man enough to send Christ to save us. Lord, we're thankful that you prepared the way with this faithful man, John the Baptist, and that you used him as a first-hand account, an eyewitness account of all the things, that he declared of you. God, I thank you for this. God, the question this morning for me, for us, that I would ask you to burn into our heart is, who are we speaking up for? Who are we telling others of? Will we be content to let man continue to strive under the weight of the law, under the burden of sin, under the bondage of Satan? Or will we give them the faithful witness, the true testimony, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that he died, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, so that man might be saved? We're thankful for that day when we admitted that we were sinners, we cried out to you for forgiveness, and that you washed us clean in the blood of Jesus Christ and gave us life eternal and saved our souls and made us your children, joint heirs with Christ, and given us a home in heaven and a destiny that's marvelous. Lord, we thank you for that day. May we be stirred to tell others so they may experience and be a first-hand witness to this salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray.